Greetings and welcome back to ZatCast. I am Chad, that's Pat. This is your official podcast for local government nerdery of all kinds. We don't have a lot today, but since we have committed to this two-week cycle, we felt like we needed to just do it. Otherwise, we'll basically just get off track, right? Like, we'll this habit will end and then you'll never hear from us again. So we are here and we are going to make the most of it. So Patrick, how about we start? Just tell me, how was your spring break?
Spring break was good. That's why we don't have a lot, right? Because last week we basically did
just
nothing.
Been completely out of pocket for a week here.
Yes, it's been wild. No, spring break was good, man. We actually did not travel for spring break this year. We played baseball on both weekends, so we didn't do any traveling. But we did go experience Andretti's. Have you ever been to an Andretti's?
Is that the go-kart racing?
It is the indoor go-kart racing. It is the easiest way to spend $200 in less than 30 minutes that I have ever done in my life.
30 minutes.
My kids rode.
That's worse than main event.
Three times a piece, right? And they had two different tracks, so they were on two different tracks. And in about 30 minutes, we spent $200.
Must be nice to have that kind of cash to blow.
It was a lot cheaper than taking a trip.
That's true.
But yeah, it was an interesting experience. But I'll tell you, we were in the Colony. And you know, I do love that area in the Colony, which is very vehicle centric, very car centric. Like you actually can't walk between Nebraska Furniture Mart and Andretti's really without driving. It's kind of a weird set. Like it's walkable in certain parts of the development now. So like things have gotten better, but it's just kind of a weird mix. Anyways, went to Andretti's. Really wanted to talk about though. Have you heard of this place called Game Box?
Game Box?
Yes.
No.
Game Box. It's like an immersive escape room. Okay. Is the better way to say. Well, yeah, probably not even an escape room, but it's an immersive environment where you can go in with your family for about an hour. It's usually like $50-$60 for an hour, right? And you can be like the Ghostbusters in an actual Ghostbusters scene. Right. And it's like this immersive environment.
Are you trying to escape though?
Well, I think you're like trying to complete something to get out of the room. Right. Okay. Like
it's just it's not like VR. It's like actual reality, but you're playing a game.
Correct. And it's like three walls and then there's like a glass wall behind, mm-hmm. right. That people can like see into the room, I guess. But there's like three walls and it's immersive. Right. So like you're in this world as a Ghostbuster, like interacting.
Do people watch you?
They also have Paw Patrol. Everybody loves Paw Patrol. Paw Patrol.
Have you ever seen Paw Patrol live?
No, Chad, I have never put myself in a situation to have to see any of those live shows like you have. You've seen Frozen live, right? Let's go through all of the shows that you've seen live. Can we hit those?
I have never seen the Frozen musical. I have seen the Shrek musical.
Okay.
I have seen Paw Patrol live.
Okay.
My wife took some of the kids to see Blippi on stage.
Wow.
And I don't know if you know this, but there was a huge scandal about this because it wasn't the real Blippi.
I had no idea there was a real Blippi.
Are you not familiar with Blippi?
No. Okay. How about Bluey? Bluey's the new Blippi.
I'm going to Bluey next weekend.
Are you? Okay,
yes, I'm taking the two little ones to Bluey. I love Bluey. It's such a great show.
Bluey is a great show. Because it's kind of like Shrek, right? It's written for both levels. Like there's an adult side to Bluey and then there's like the kid side, which is and there's some good humor in there. It's great life lessons. Right, yes. Sorry, keep going. What else have you seen live?
I was going to tell you about Blippi. Okay. So Blippi is a YouTube channel and it's for kids. It's this guy who dresses in a bow tie and suspenders and he talks in this kind of high pitched, silly voice. But he will go to like a museum and explain things to you. Like, so it's actually decent content for kids, if like semi-educational versus some of the other crap that you can see on YouTube. But this guy has made a fortune on Blippi. And when they went on tour, they hired an actor basically because he didn't want to go on tour. Now, the one thing I'll say about Blippi is even though his Blippi content is decent for kids, he has a very interesting backstory, which I will not relay on this podcast. I will just suggest.
Is this like a Pee Wee Herman style backstory?
It's not that kind, but it is also kind of gross. So,
okay.
Because he used to do some YouTube videos or Vine or whatever it was.
Okay.
Some of them were not the most appropriate things. So.
But he's a YouTube star now, so he makes like $1 million episode, right?
Yeah, I don't think he's at Mr. Beast level. And I don't know. Like those kid shows really come and go. Like for the longest time when my oldest was young, it was Ryan's World.
Okay.
And then it was like the Fun Squad and the Kid City and Kids Class. So there's like a bunch of different
things. There was Kid President for a little while.
I don't remember that one. That may have been before my kids' time.
Yeah.
All that to say, like, I absolutely hate kids YouTube because most of the content on there is just drivel. Like it's kids playing with weird dubs and like lots of fast cuts. Like if you're going to watch a lot of cuts and short clips, just like watch Sesame Street.
I literally just had this conversation with another parent about motivation. And my wife, who's a high school educator, said, this is the world we deal with now, because long story short, we had an outfielder who didn't react to a fly ball off of a bat. Like, you know, just didn't see the ball hit the bat, didn't react to it. And I was like, man, I wish you'd be more motivated. And my wife said, it's probably more focus. So what do you mean? And she like went into this whole like routine about education and like how they have to teach differently now because of YouTube, right? Like if you watch a Mr. Beast video, it's like the same script.
So frenetic. Yes, I tried to watch one episode because he had this deal with Elon Musk where he made a video on Twitter and they were running it as an ad, but it wasn't being shown as an ad. So it was very controversial. And so I watched like 3 minutes of it and it almost broke my brain. It was so awful.
But I mean, basically the comment is like, are we creating like an entire generation of ADHD? Because they just can't, like, they're so used to the phonetic sound that happens when an action happens that if it's not that sound, it's like, I don't get a awareness, right? I don't like focus in at that moment. It's like we're zombies until we hear that, you know, like rip roar sound. And then bam, I get there. And even like stuff that I do, like I'm a big Dude Perfect fan. I really like Dude Perfect, especially for my kids, but even Dude Perfect does that too. Right. Like, you know, it's, we're going to like guess the best cereal and then we're going to be like, you know, we're going to have cereal monster. It's, you know, like the way they roll through that is just, I don't know.
It's all very formulaic to get people to just stay watching it.
I mean, does that roll all the way back to Bozo the Clown? I mean, could we blame Bozo the Clown?
No, that was
you never watched Bozo the Clown?
It was an extremely slow paced show.
Bozo the Clown was slow paced. You're talking about the game show, right?
Or the cartoon.
The kid show that would come on PBS, the actual like real show with the real Bozo the Clown.
Yes, where they had the grand prize game.
Yes, the grand prize game.
That was on WGN.
Oh, was it?
Yes. Okay. And I know that because I would constantly write in to be the at-home winner. And I never was. But I always wanted to go play the grand prize game because I knew I would win it.
So we're sponsoring the UNT MPA banquet, which is a pretty important sponsorship to us because, you know, obviously we're UNT alums. But also it's Dr. Bland's last year on the way out. Congratulations to Dr. Bland. Wow. It's his official retirement. He's the keynote speaker and we get to do the 3-minute intro and make fun of him for 3 minutes. I think that's what we're going to do. But anyways,
roasted.
But I got to ask the question about you and that response that you just gave to the Bozo the Clown. I wish I would have had that because so the marketing department, communications marketing department calls me and they start asking me these questions about, you know, like how we came together and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, he was like a super nerdy kid in the other side of the classroom. And I was kind of loud and obnoxious and, you know, somehow we became friends. We balanced each other out. I never wrote into a game show ever.
I would watch it every weekend.
Like, well, it was a great show. Yeah, it was a Saturday morning show, right?
I think it was Sunday morning. We'd watch it before church.
Sunday morning? Okay.
And if we had to leave before the grand prize game, I'd always get upset.
Do you think Bozo the Clown actually went outside and drank whiskey and smoked a cigarette after the show? Like every like parody of him showed after the fact? That was In Living Color, I think, did that, right?
Oh, Homie the Clown.
Homie the Clown.
Yeah.
Which was basically it was kind of a parody. Bozo the Clown.
Yeah. So. There's an episode in Fresh Prince where they meet Dougie the Whale.
Oh. I do. It's such a good show. Yeah.
And he's in the back drinking.
Okay.
Will gets in a fight
millennial
with him.
Millennial Gen Zers who are not Fresh Prince fans, like, that's one you have to go look up. Go look up on YouTube for the Dougie the Clown.
Dougie the Whale.
Dougie the Whale episode. Yeah. He gets so offended by Dougie the Whale.
It's funny because Carlton loves Dougie the Whale. Like, he's the one that wants to go. Speaking of in-person character shows.
Yes. Yeah. Super cool. All right. So back to live shows. Any other live shows that I missed? I feel like there's a couple like embarrassing ones that you haven't brought up yet.
I feel like there's a difference between a live stage show like Paw Patrol and an actual musical.
Who's your favorite Paw Patrol character?
I don't have one.
I just want to make sure. Okay.
I know all
Chase
their names.
Chase is on the case.
Yes. I know all their names. That show is terrible.
It's the same premise all the time.
I don't want to go too deep into why I don't like it, but I just don't.
You were about to say something about the pedestal law enforcement gets placed on that show. I think that's where you were going. Just for everybody's libertarian mindset there. That's where Chad's going. So we're not going to dig into that deep, right? That has more to do with being a city manager and having to negotiate with police departments and salaries and things. Chad, still, you have like PTSD for salary negotiations.
I do. I also don't like the idea of outsourcing like all public safety responsibilities of a city to a kid and a bunch of dogs. Like, just the idea of it seems like it's not the best thing we should be teaching children, but I don't know.
I mean, I just want everybody to know we did not plan on any of this conversation. This is totally off the cuff. And
I have thoughts
that went to an amazing place. Paw Patrol. Like, that went all the way to, should we be subcontracting police services to dogs
and children?
And children.
The answer is obviously no. Yes. Obviously no.
All right. Back to this. I feel like there's a live show you're leaving out. Like, there's something like a Peppa Pig or something like that really embarrassing that you've gone to.
My kids have never been into Peppa Pig except my youngest. So we have these little story boxes that they can listen to as they fall asleep.
Okay.
And he liked a Peppa Pig story for about 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then he moved on to Frozen and then Moana. So
yeah. I'm a big Moana fan. There's a new Moana coming out, right, this summer.
Is there?
I think so. There was a preview of it in something I saw the other day.
Wonder what left they had to tell on that story.
Maybe when I went to go see... Oh, what was the Joaquin Phoenix movie? Come on.
Napoleon.
When I went to go see Napoleon, I think there was a Moana deal in Napoleon.
That's an interesting juxtaposition.
They always do that, though.
But why? Parents are going to see that, and then like they're not going to care.
Moana's Disney, and... That was Disney. So Disney's going to do, they're going to push all their best Disney products.
I think it's on Disney.
That.
I think it's on Apple TV.
Oh, it is on Apple TV.
Yeah.
So maybe it wasn't that one. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
So one thing I did think about was doing some kind of blog or podcast where I dissect Disney movies and highlight like the biggest plot holes that make the entire movie basically worthless. Frozen is the most obvious example. And that we've talked on this podcast before about how much I dislike Frozen, but also the Rapunzel came up this week as we were on yet another Disney cruise. Big plot hole in Rapunzel that when Mother Gothel steals Rapunzel, she doesn't tell her that she has her actual birthday. And so when they're releasing all of the lanterns every year on her birthday, she can correlate these things together. If she just said, oh yeah, your birthday is like June 12th, then there would have been no relationship. And maybe she still wanted to get out of the tower and go see the lanterns, but them being on her birthday made her particularly interested in escaping to go see them, which brought the entire House of Cards down on top of Mother Gothel.
If you're a listener who actually understood any of what Chad just said, the Sudoku puzzle that is your mind is an amazing place that's where you go. So, what about Caillou? Did you go to a live show at Caillou?
What is that?
Oh, good. Okay. Caillou, nobody's kids should watch Caillou. By the way, if you're about to have kids, please make sure that Caillou does not come on. Caillou is the greatest complainer of a kid's show that's out there. I think it's on Nickelodeon.
Oh,
maybe.
Speaking of Nickelodeon, We started watching this documentary last night on HBO Max.
Oh, so yeah. I've watched episode one on this one. Yeah.
It's not good.
Are you on the Amanda Bynes one?
We finished episode two last night. So we just kind of got through Amanda Bynes.
Okay.
And then into like All That's Over. Amanda Bynes is kind of over. And then now they just kind of at the end of it display one of the kid actors who was involved in some of the pedophilia stuff.
Yeah.
Like, hashtag okay. Spoiler alert, but yeah, it's not good.
So it's not good. Yeah. But it's, you know, I've watched the first episode and I'm into it at this point. It's this is very rare that you and I are watching the same show at the same time.
That's true.
Almost. Okay. Did you watch Air Masters on Apple Plus?
We've got two episodes left.
Okay.
We started watching Manhunt.
Not as good as,
Band of Brothers.
Band of Brothers is like one of the greatest,
or Memphis Belle
series. Well, that's a movie and it's amazing too.
Yeah. But it's also over in an hour and a half.
That's correct.
It's supposed to 9 hours.
Yeah. Memphis Belle is also like one of the best movies to watch with like surround sound. That and,
Top Gun.
U571. Yeah. Oh, the depth charges in a surround sound movie theater. It's amazing. So
whenever I get a new sound system, which hasn't happened in a long time, Top Gun is always the first movie. That opening sequence.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. All right. Let's get into the like one city topic we're going to talk about.
Okay.
Rent rates in Austin.
Yes.
Tell us what's going on.
Austin has built a bunch of apartments and rent rates, according to rent.com, were down 12% in 2023.
Wow. And do we know why rent rates are down?
Yes, is there just supply an oversupply?
Okay.
See, so there's this thing in economics. I'm not sure if you've heard of it.
Is this Keynesian economics?
No, this is classical economics. When supply goes up, the demand curve shifts as well, and it adjusts the price. Like supply and demand are related, and they ultimately equilibrate at different price points based on the two factors of those things, supply versus demand, quantity supplied versus quantity demanded, all this kind of stuff. So if you add a bunch of housing, the prices will come down. It's kind of a cool thing. You should check it out. Ask ChatGPT.
Okay.
It'll explain it to you.
I'll have to go ask that to explain my, you know, heavy load of economics classes at A&M just really never taught that correctly.
Yeah. It's very advanced. So I wouldn't expect your entry level course to cover supply and demand, but yeah, it's a thing.
We were real big into Keynesian economics there.
I'm sure Keynes still recognizes demand because Keynes is just a demand side.
It's just demand side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stimulus.
You can encourage the demand side to stimulate. Yeah. So
speaking of demand side stimulation, there's a proposal now to like provide $400 of tax credit for first time home buyers. You heard this?
Haven't we done that before though? Like didn't when you and I bought our first house, didn't we get a tax credit of some kind? I think I did. I got a free government giveaway, like $6,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
And if you moved from your house in so many years, you had to pay it back.
Yeah. Well, I haven't read all the details.
It was like $2,000.
Yet another one of these sort of demand stimulators. The problem with these things is that you stimulate demand, but you don't increase supply. You're just raising the prices.
Okay. So what in the Austin market, first off, you know, there's also been talk about in the Austin market, a lot of folks who moved there during COVID to escape have kind of moved other places now. So do we think that has something to do with it as well?
That there's less, there are fewer people there. I don't think the population has gone down.
Okay. I mean, you gave me the number the other day that we added like 400,000 people to the Golden Triangle.
The Texas Triangle.
Texas Triangle. Yeah. So Golden Triangle is the mall in Louisville. Sorry.
No,
get that wrong. Didn't. Oh, you're right.
Also
is it still called the Golden Triangle Mall?
I don't know. But there's a Golden Triangle Boulevard that runs through Keller and Southlake. Actually, I think it turns into Southlake Boulevard. Because of course it does.
Yes. Yes. Because of course it does. Our friends in Southlake are going to have a comment to that. We have a few listeners there. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. So the Texas Triangle, which is the DFW region down to Houston and Southeast Texas, down to sort of the Austin, San Antonio area, 400,000 people between July 1st, 2022 and July 1st, 2023.
Which, I mean, there's some pretty crazy growth. Like South San Antonio is seeing like that area now is starting to see some really crazy growth too. So whereas, you know, it was kind of like north and originally it was like north and like east San Antonio, right?
Yeah. Where like the growth filling was. In all that gap between Austin and San Antonio, New Braunfels, San Marcos, Kyle, Buda.
Yeah. And now it's kind of wrapping around the south side. So, which is wild, but, yeah, it's a huge growth number. So we still have growth. So are some of the changes that the city of Austin is making and their planning and zoning processes, like, are those having an impact in the density numbers, which is allowing for, because obviously Austin has a problem with affordability, right? It's one of the least affordable markets in the state of Texas, probably is the least affordable market in the state of Texas, I would imagine. Big cities, maybe.
I don't know. I have to do some math on that.
Okay. Do some white paper research. So, but is Austin, there was a lot of controversy in Austin about their new zoning. They had a lot of political turnover because of that over the last 10 years, right?
Yeah. That's kind of par for the course whenever you want to make sweeping overhauls to your zoning. But yeah, the Austin in particular, I believe, was one of the instigators behind some of the legislative pushes. Right, because they couldn't get it passed.
They couldn't get it done. Yeah, they couldn't get the NIMBYism out of their zoning code. Yes.
Yeah.
So, which, speaking of, are we allowed to talk about this?
What?
Are we allowed to talk about your grand invite?
Let's save that one.
Okay, we'll save that one. Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's official, but I don't think it's officially official.
Okay.
So we can hang on to that one for a little bit.
I'm pretty excited for you.
It'll be. We'll talk about it whenever we can talk about it.
Okay.
So, baseball is back.
It is.
Spring training is back. We've talked about baseball already, but I there's something we could talk about here. That,
what's that?
I've been wanting to write about it and like bring back the roundup to write about it. But since baseball is back, maybe we can chat about it.
Okay.
Okay. Are you ready for this?
Wait for it, everybody.
Okay.
Wait for it.
If we talk about adding new apartments. If we talk about changing zoning codes and things like that. Okay. One of the topics that a lot of cities are looking at is, and they always talk about it, and this is the phrase that they use, is they want to moneyball this development.
Yes.
Can we talk now about the moneyball?
We can.
Okay, good. Because this has been stewing on my mind for a long time.
Okay. I'm waiting to hear it.
Okay. This is a bad idea. Don't
moneyballing development.
Moneyball development. If you want to moneyball something mechanistic, like how can we get the most out of our street funding? That's fine.
Okay.
But when it comes to building things and creating communities, you can't get around the fact that it is a complex adaptive system that requires more than just looking at the financials. Right? Like
Agreed.
You can build developments that make you a ton of money, but that are terrible places to live, terribly integrated into the rest of your city and the rest of your community. So like that cannot
I think the better way to say it is it should only be a factor.
You should
the driver.
First look at how do we make good places and then come back with, is this financially sustainable? And if not, how can we tweak it?
Okay.
But yeah, it should never be the driving factor in how you're building your city.
I mean, number one rule in all of that, just build less parking lot.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That helps.
That'd be good.
Pro tip, less parking lot.
Fewer.
Fewer.
Well,
parking spaces?
Less parking, fewer parking lots.
Yes.
I feel like we had talked about this last time too. But the reason that I have had this on my mind, so before, not the most recent one postseason when the Rangers won the World Series, but the one before that, there was an article that came out in the Atlantic that was basically arguing that Moneyball ruined baseball.
Okay.
Right. And right around this time, this is the reason that I didn't bring it up. I sent to you like 2 days before I saw this article, I sent you a text and I said, I have this concern about cities moneyballing development because they're playing a finite game and not an infinite game.
Okay.
Right. So for those who aren't familiar with this concept, finite games are things that have clearly defined rules. They have clearly defined players. They have a starting time and an ending time and a goal to achieve in order to win, right? Like checkers is a finite game. infinite games are, they're not really games per se, but there are things that we do where the purpose of playing them is to keep playing them, right? Like if an election, a single election is a finite game because it has candidates and then you have an election day and then you have a winner. Democracy is an infinite game, right? The purpose of being a democratic country is to continue having democracy, right? So if you start to mess with the elections, try to moneyball the elections and treat democracy itself as a finite game, you can run into some serious problems. The author argued the same thing about baseball, right? Baseball itself, the 9-inning game is finite. There's a well-defined objective. We use statistics to figure out how to win that game, the individual game. But what happened is that the long game, the infinite game of having baseball be a good sport that people care about and want to watch, suffered. So I don't know if you remember this, but baseball got really difficult to watch for like 10 years.
Yes.
Like the entire 2010s. It got really bad.
Yes.
So we made a bunch of changes to the game and now it runs a lot faster. I still think there are some issues, but it is much better now not to watch.
They changed the baseball so the ball goes over the fence more often.
Well, the problem is like the pitching became so, I don't know if precise is the right word, but like the math and the strategy behind all of those moves and the shifting and everything else, like basically you could know where a hitter was going to hit the ball, right? So like offense was basically, yeah. Baseball became either you're going to hit a home run or you're not going to score.
Well, and we de-incentivized stealing bases, right?
Well, because Moneyball. Yes.
Yeah, correct. And now that's back in the game. And to me, that makes like one of the biggest differences. The fact that guys steal bases makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Now, so this came up again recently.
You get like a Mookie Betts who steals a second base and a third base. And it makes it so much more exciting to watch.
It makes it more exciting to watch. I still think that there are legitimate reasons why you shouldn't steal, like why you shouldn't sacrifice bunt. I think that out is still important. But as the game shifted for the original Moneyball concept, then the things that were undervalued became different, right? So the Moneyball was a moving target. Either way, the reason that this really came up is because recently, as my oldest son has gotten into soccer, I've been trying to get into it as well. And it's a beautiful game. It's like, it's extremely fluid. The most interesting thing to me is when I watch their trainings, is how difficult it is to translate those activities, the drills that they do and things like that, into an actual game. And it's not just because they're young. It's because when something happens on the pitch during a game, it's almost never set up by something that you can replicate in practice. Right? Outside of a free kick or a throw in or a corner kick, the way that you got into that position is not replicable because of all the things that happened before it. Yep. And so I found this book called Net Gains, which talked about the analytics revolution in soccer and how much difficulty they had trying to replicate Moneyball in soccer. And almost all of it came from the fact that the game itself is not as finite and defined as something like baseball or football, where you have plays and pitches and the game resets after everything. I just thought it was really an interesting corollary to how cities operate, right? Because nothing.
But like even in football, don't we feel like the money ball in football is kind of gone by the wayside too? Like, I mean, I feel like we've gone. I mean, if you look at.
No, and in fact, like, I think it's getting stronger. Like, have you ever watched one of the Amazon Thursday Night Football broadcasts?
Yes.
They have.
With all the analytics.
Real-time analytics. Yeah. Well, they will like highlight players with a probability that they're blitzing.
Yeah.
They will call out hot routes. Like basically everything Tony Romo did in his first couple of games as an announcer, they're using machine learning to do it in real time. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, if you could make those kinds of projections from the sidelines, like you could totally change the game of football.
Yeah. Which there was a parent the other day at one of my kids' baseball games who was using a sign stealing app.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, come on, this is 11-12U baseball. Now it's upper level baseball. It's really good baseball, but like you're going to steal signs using an app.
Doesn't he know that you just need a trash can?
Well, I mean, that's all you need, a trash can, and you can win a World Series. But how are you feeling about your Rangers this year? Let's wrap this up with a talk about baseball season starting.
You're just
I
doing
didn't
this
get the spring
because.
training. I did not get the spring training this year.
Okay.
Hey, Cody Bradford, the Aledo, Texas product, made the rotation, starting rotation for the Rangers.
Good.
So, that's good. It's good to see. My kids are going to have somebody to a reason to watch a Rangers game occasionally. We won't turn it on for any other reason.
You don't want to watch Adoli hit any more
Nope.
homers off your Astros
Nope.
pitchers?
I don't. I don't. We talk about market and demand, though. I still think Blake Snell is trying to find a place to play baseball. So is Montgomery. Scott Boras has really done a number on those guys this year. They're both looking for short-term deals now because the market won't give them long-term deals. So, baseball. But yes, I believe that my Astros will win the AL West. I'll put that out there.
How long do you think that window is for this team?
It depends if we re-sign Bregman, which that's looking like it's probably not going to happen. I think they're not going to come to terms. We've already secured up and locked up Tucker, right? Or we're locking him up on a longer-term deal. We've already locked him up, I think, for 2 years, and we're going to get a longer-term deal with him as well. Altuve's been locked.
Yeah, but how much longer
Our
does Altuvi have?
6 years, 7 years,
Do
I
you think
think.
that long?
Yeah. I mean, when your body's that little dude, it doesn't break down that much. You're good.
Thank you. I'm
So,
good.
yeah, you're good. I just like that you actually got what I was telling you there. So, just for people who've never actually visually seen Chad and I stand next to each other, he's a little shorter than I am. It's
Yeah,
not a lot.
but I'm a
It's just
little
a
taller
little.
than Jose Altuve.
You are a little taller than Jose Altuve.
He can
So,
hit
I
the
mean,
ball a lot farther than I can.
it doesn't look like the famous Judge Altuve picture when we stand next to each other at all. But yeah, I mean,
It's like
I think
a.
the Astros run is going to be pretty good. We have some younger guys coming up. I think the disturbing part for the Astros right now is starting rotation. We've got some injuries in the starting rotation. That's okay. Even when we won the World Series a couple of years ago, we didn't start real well
We
in that
won last year
rotation.
without two of our starters.
That's correct. So we'll be fine. I think we were actually a little too dependent on our starting rotation last year. So when we got to the playoffs, our bats were not as hot as they needed to be. And I think that's the kind of the Bregman thing there too. Like Bregman's not going to sign a longer term deal after what he hit last year. He wants to have a better free agency year. And so he's going to do that for sure and try to get some more money. So yeah, I mean, I think the Astros are going to be pretty good for a little while. We've got a couple pitchers coming up. Arenetti, who's coming up from triples, may make the majors team this year. He's also a really good pitcher. Shout out to my man Gomez. He actually works with my kids at their training facility. And Caesar is hopefully going to make the AAA squad this year as a young grad from UTA. So yeah, I'm real excited about the Astros organization. I think this whole conversation really just laid the level of psycho I have for baseball that I can name AAA and AA players and like who's coming up through the system and all that jazz.
I would agree. My thing,
Yeah, it is my sport though. Like baseball is the one thing that I like really, really stay in tune with.
I used to be that into the weeds, especially around like 2010, 2011, as the Rangers were in their first World Series phase. It's a lot harder with kids, especially kids who don't play baseball. But the season is also just so long that I will follow and kind of just track how the team is doing. But I don't really start to pay a lot of attention until like August.
So I watch baseball on my computer the day after, right? So like while I'm working, instead of like listening to a podcast, I'll have the game on my other screen. That's typically how I roll. And I can't stand it when the game is on ESPN because ESPN will not allow a two-screen computer to stream. It's one of the most annoying things in the world. But the biggest difference between the Astros and the Rangers right now is the Astros have figured out their TV deal and the Rangers are still in limbo. And that's gonna kill the Rangers for a little while because it's just so much money. The
No, I
Astros kind
think
of
the
went in
Rangers really
alone.
only have maybe two more years of a window. I think a lot of it has to do with Bochy. And I mean, he came out of retirement. Like, how long is he going to coach?
They're young though, man.
They are, but
I mean, and they were a rebuilt team. Like they were just like the Astros. We're gonna tear it all down and rebuild it. And they did it a solid 2 years before they were supposed to. I mean, I don't think they're going away. They just really don't have the pitching that they
So this
need.
the two star pitchers are old, like
Yep.
Scherzer is
And
super old.
and he's hurt, and Montgomery's gone. And Montgomery was big time for y'all last year. Y'all wouldn't be anywhere near where you're at right now if it wasn't for him.
We've got a couple of good young players that are coming
Yeah, Cody
up.
Bradford's one of them. He's good.
Langford. But
So I don't know. They're gonna have some team expansion though. That's the rumor mill is the MLB is gonna expand starting in a couple of years,
what, from the
right?
25?
Yeah, from the 25 they have now. And I think Austin San Antonio is like on the map to
Oh,
get another
you're
baseball
talking
team.
about not roster expansion, but actual teams.
Team expansions. Yeah, new teams.
I don't
So
think Austin needs a baseball team. I don't think Austin really needs a professional sports team. I hope
man.
they don't get one.
Yeah.
Because the
Well,
one thing about up here in the Metroplex is that college sports, it's not that big of a deal.
yeah.
And I mean, yeah, SMU, TCU, UNT, like TCU's had good football teams. SMU's had decent football teams. SMU can't fill a 25,000
No.
capacity stadium.
No.
Like when I was coaching, or
But TCU can, which is
TCU
funny.
can fill Amon Carter.
Is that just because like Fort Worth doesn't have that other sports team, so everybody's just like total TCU centric?
I wouldn't say everyone is, but there's four TCU is definitely like Fort Worth's team.
And to not have a Triple A baseball team in Fort Worth to me is
Yeah,
crazy.
and they're about to get rid of LaGrave,
Oh,
who
it's a
is
big
part of the
deal.
Panther Island.
Yeah, it's really sad. So, but reality is, I mean, you're right. College sports is not really all that big in North Texas.
I mean, you got,
Really good baseball, by the way, DBU. Go watch DBU play. It's really good baseball. So, that's kind of like a gem in a Metroplex that nobody really ever thinks about from a baseball perspective. It's a really good baseball school. So, I don't know. Yeah, baseball season's here. Spring is in the air. My grass is turning green. It's kind
Yeah,
of
a
a
soccer pitch in the backyard sprung up while we were gone. Now I got
nice.
to go mow it.
Yeah, that's sad. That's real sad. Do you have a real mower for that?
Do, but it doesn't get low enough.
Okay.
So I got to figure that out. I
It's like
got
a
to.
reel-reel or is it like an electric reel?
No, you push it. It's not that
That's
bad.
crazy.
It's, I mean, it's
Okay.
flat and it's just Bermuda. So like, it's pretty easy. But I need to find one that can get me like half an inch to three quarters of an inch. Because like the 1 inch height is just, it's just too
Too
soft,
tall.
too tall. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. That's a level of psycho you just explained about yourself.
Well, mainly it's too tall for me because I'm old and running through high grass is not fun. So I have a
I
hard
thought
enough time
short was
keeping up
going to
with my
keep you from being
8 year-old.
hurt. Yeah. Yeah.
No,
So
I can see over the grass blades. Thank you.
that's nice. That's nice. Well, folks, that's all we have for you today. That was our grab bag show.
Grab bag. We found a couple of related topics.
We did. I mean, we went from Bozo the Clown to wrench dropping, but yeah, I mean, it was
But at
not a bad
least
show.
the streak is intact.
It is. It's still here. We're still going. We're going to see you in 2 more weeks. I hope you enjoyed, and we'll have more to chit chat, and we'll probably have some data on sales tax as we continue to see these declines. So hopefully,
And
we'll dig into that here in 2 weeks as well.
as we
Yep.
continue to wait for the comptroller.
Still waiting on data. Still waiting on data. So, all right, cool. It was great to chat with y'all and see you again, Chad, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right. See you, Pep.